And that's so different than what I thought prayer was when I was younger. I thought prayer, you had to get really quiet and put your palms together and try and not think of anything but God, which was impossible. And then I began to realize, and part of me was very blessed in that I've gotten to go to many, many different Christian churches, Jewish services, Buddhist services, Baha'i services over the course of my life, and heard and seen so many different ways people pray. In the Quakers, it's in the silence. In the Southern Baptist Church, it's with great music and everybody waving their hands in the air. Catholic High Mass was quiet, but it was all prayer. It was all prayer. I know when I first started ministerial school, we had a class called Life of Prayer. And one of our first questions to the instructor was, what's the right way to pray? We're going to be ministers. We need, what's the right way to pray? And I loved it. There is no right way to pray. Prayer is a personal communion with the presence of the divine, with Great Spirit, with Buddha, whatever name, however it looks, it's energy. It's an energetic connection and harmonizing of your outer life with the life of spirit that abides within and is ever a light at the core of your being. Prayer isn't separate from life. It is a part and woven into life, like the song says. Everything is prayer. I remember being absolutely terrified to pray out loud. And it didn't dawn on me big time until I'd already applied for ministerial school. And they had a dinner party from the board to bless me on the way. And it was this huge dinner. And they said, okay, Pam, will you say grace? I almost crawled under the table. I have to say a prayer in front of like 60 people? Bless this food. Rub-a-dub-da, God, thanks for the grub. Yay, God, the old Methodist camp one I thought of. And I realized, oh, wow. Yes, of course I don't just pray over here. It's communal as well. That's one of the things that's wonderful about prayer, is it's this incredible paradox of claiming and entering into the presence and affirming what you want, and at the same time completely surrendering and releasing. They always say when you find a paradox where two things that are opposites are equally true is where you find the presence of God. It's the center where the two seeming opposites come together. And prayer is just that. It's connecting our inner and our outer worlds, our higher and embodied selves. It's an energetic window that allows us to realign. When I was in my final semester at ministerial school, they offered an elective class, I'll never forget, Spirit saying, you need to take this, and me going, no way, Jose. Which was, they did an elective class that was praying aloud and leading meditations without a script. Up until then, we pretty much did it with some kind of a script. And out of the class of 40, there were only four or five of us that signed up for it. And so the very first class, the instructor said, oh good, it's a small class, you can all pray out loud today. And we all almost left on the spot. But it was one of the greatest blessings to face that fear, because what I learned instantly is prayer is that living presence right in this moment. It can be in the form of a traditional prayer that we memorize, There are certain prayers, like the Lord's prayers, that hold an energy that people automatically reach for, particularly if there's a crisis. For unity, the prayer of protection. Anytime I'm driving and I have the slightest sense that there something might be amiss, I do the prayer of protection instantly. When I got put in an MRI machine just before we moved up here, I had anemia, and they were afraid that I might have bone cancer. So they were doing a whole body scan. And I remember talking to Lane, and he said, well, if you've got something going on, we can't go. And I said, if I've got limited time, I have to go. But while I was in that machine, I get a little claustrophobic. And I cannot tell you how much our little mantra that's at the Fillmore Chapel, the Peace Chapel, and in our Chapel of Light, peace, be still. And I remember David's comma, peace, be still. And the whole time I was in that machine, I told him, I said, the minute it gets to here and I can see, let me know so I can look at the ceiling. And he did, which was very kind. But the only way I stayed in a place of peace was through prayer. I meditated a little bit and pictured the beach of Iona, which, as you all know, is one of my favorite places on earth. I was on the strand of the monks and just feeling the peace of Iona all around me. And then, after meditating and creating this imaginal space that was much friendlier than the MRI machine, peace, be still. I stood there on the beach on Iona and allowed peace, be still to fill me at every level of being. And I found that I was surprised when he tapped me on my shoulder that it was okay to open my eyes now, because I had settled into this presence of the divine. Prayer is a living spiritual practice. And like David said, I don't see prayer and meditation as being just one's listening and one's talking to God either. I think they're both communions with the divine. Prayer can be very specific. Meditation can be specific. But they're both openings and a willingness to go beyond our outer understandings of things and our sense that we're walking through the world alone. I always loved Andrew Harvey, wonderful writer. And in his book, The Direct Path, he says this, and to me this captures spiritual path work and prayer. Christ's real teaching was not, as the church has claimed, about worshiping him as the Son of God. It was actually an attempt to transmit to everyone else the intimate, direct, totally transforming relationship he himself had realized with God. An attempt to empower all beings with their own divine identity and to begin a mystical and political revolution. How's that for a powerful way to view prayer and meditation and the spiritual path? Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth, which was one of the first books ever published by Unity, Emily was quite the lady, and she made sure that Charles Fillmore could publish it only if he promised not to change one word without her permission. And she said, the secret place of the Most High is the point of mystical union between man and spirit, the God in us. Isn't that wonderful? Also heard, prayer is the contemplation of things from the highest point of view. Charles Fillmore, prayer is the exercise of faith in the presence and power of the unseen God. True prayer brings about an exalted radiation of energy. Charles Fillmore, back at the turn of the century, talking about changing energy. And we now have nuclear biologists who are proving that we are hardwired to pray, to meditate, to connect with something beyond ourselves. That energetic matrix web of life of which we are a part. Prayer is one of those gifts that's been wired into us to be able to unite a higher view with our embodiment so that they come together as one in us, which is truly living the presence of the Christ energy, the Atman, the Buddha, that light of God that we are. We say every Sunday that we're an authentic, spiritual, transformative community. And we want to do that in thought, action, and in prayer. And so I thought, okay, what's authentic prayer? Authentic prayer is be exactly who you are and where you are. When I first got to Unity in Dallas, one of the things that I struggled with was that they said, don't ever affirm anything negative, don't talk about it. And I felt like, oh, if I'm going to just push it down and avoid it, it's going to get even bigger. For me, the way I'm wired, my path is through. And so I felt like it was so important to allow us to be spiritually honest and to be able to go to someone and say, you know what, I'm really depressed today. Or I'm really scared. I'm waiting for the results of my cancer test. Or I just lost my job. I'm just so uncertain right now. I think the presence of the divine is big enough to welcome that. It's our outer eyes and outer judgment that say this is good and this is bad that even take us to that spot. The divine presence is an acceptance of life and you exactly as you are. Jesus said this over and over again. He demonstrated it over and over again. He didn't go to the blind man and say, you cannot say you are blind. He accepted him, but he also said, that blindness has no power over you. The outer circumstances that we experience, they are real. And I think it's important to be spiritually honest as the starting place. And to be able to say when life is difficult. But at the same time, know that there is a greater power that can transform and shift the situation, other people, and you. I always loved hearing and seeing, there was a film by that was about C.S. Lewis that came out years ago, and I can't remember the name of it, but it had, the great British actor played C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis, his wife has cancer, and some of his professors at the theology school are going, okay, are you praying? Well, duh, yeah. And they said, well, you've got to pray and that will change the situation. And he said, I've realized that when I pray, the thing that's important is I'm not trying to change God, I'm trying to change me. So that in the midst of whatever is happening, we can see the presence of God. When I worked as a nurse, pediatric ICU, emergency room, adult intensive care at one point, and then became a hospital chaplain, I found it was so critical to recognize that in the midst of even the most dark, tragic situations, the presence of the divine is there. It's there in the fact that I was willing to go in and hold prayer. The fact that the nurses were hanging IVs and the surgeons were coming down to fix things. The hands of God made present in that moment. Quite a ways to come from my very first time I prayed with a patient when I began to train as a hospital chaplain. I did my internship before I went to ministerial school. And I've told you that when I was told to go say prayers for people on a particular floor that was my ward for the day, I went and prayed with a comatose person to start with. That seemed like a safe place to begin. But it also came from having been a nurse and knowing that even someone who is comatose can still hear what's being said. Never doubt that. No matter what may be said from the medical community, someone may not be able to respond. That doesn't mean they don't hear. Hearing's the last thing to go. And even if they're going or they're gone, their soul can still hear the words that you speak. Because prayer is spoken, it is silent. It can be affirmations, it can be supplications, it can be thanks, it can be cries and sighs too deep for words, it can be a classic prayer or mantra that you hold on to. Eric Butterworth says something very similar to C.S. Lewis. Prayer is not a way to turn on the light in God, but to turn on the light in you. And God is that light. And so authentic prayers, we did this in ministerial school, and I was expecting these really solemn words. And it was the prayers that Ed Rabel said are, give me, oops, thanks, and wow. Those are the four basic, authentic, in the middle of life prayers that you have. Give me, if you'll give me this, I promise I'll. How many of us have negotiated with the divine? Oops, uh-oh, how do I fix up this mess I've created? Thanks, oh wow, a miracle just happened, hallelujah. And wow, just the realization in the midst of all of life, that presence is there, that energetic presence ever with us. Prayer can also be and is transformative. It helps us shift from that lower form of thinking to a higher form of thinking. It lets us release figuring out things and settling into the peace that passes all understanding. Trans is to go across. It's to move through. So transformational is linking our spiritual wisdom with our outer embodiment of life and the wisdom of our minds that we've developed in the course of our life. It's a bridge from within to without, from above to below, that bridge that is ever present with us. I love something Eric Butterworth said, and I think this is so true. Unless we pray in spirit and truth, prayer is simply a cold business transaction. Isn't that interesting? Let me say that again, because I think that's really profound. Unless we pray in spirit and truth, prayer is simply a cold business transaction. It's getting into that energetic field of possibility. In the Essene prayer book, Schlesky says, prayer is the putting of ourselves in tune with the infinite spiritual and cosmic energies. That's not doing one position one way. I love it. It's putting ourselves in tune with infinite spiritual and cosmic energies so as to draw upon the sources of energy, harmony, and knowledge. And through it, we bring about a change in ourselves and get into harmony with all the higher laws and powers. It transforms us and our world. Spiritual, it's speaking with God, listening to God, and it's embracing the energies of God. Some of my deepest prayers have had no words. They've been in the silence, or they've been walking on the beach at North Beach, sitting under a tree at Chetsamoka Park, where that spiritual matrix, the spiritual web, just shines, and you realize you're part of something much bigger than yourself once again. And you realize you are being sustained and nourished by a world that is blessed and full of the divine and was created to be a spiritual playground for us to learn how the presence of God is always with us. In Sanskrit, a mantra is man, which is mind, and tri, which is to cross and to protect. A mantra is something that helps you cross through your mind, your fears, your thoughts, and remain in a spiritual place of balance and harmony. In the Eastern world, mantras are particularly powerful. We find them powerful. The prayer of protection, peace be still, is that mantra that gives us something to hold on to when our brain starts to squirrel cage, and so that we can find that place of peace and say, I want to perceive whatever this is from a higher vision, a higher point of view. One of the best things that has ever been published by Unity is a little pamphlet that intermittently goes in and out of print called The Golden Key. And Emmett Fox, in this booklet, goes through everything, but the bottom line is this. If something is going on to get into this spiritual energetic field, simply stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. Shift your thinking from an outer point of view to a more spiritual, higher point of view. Community prayer, oh, how blessed we are to pray together. There is an energy that forms when people pray side by side. We uplift each other, and it's exponential. It goes beyond two people praying, becomes multidimensional. That's why wherever two or more are gathered, I am present. And the two can be gathered can be within yourself. It doesn't have to be out here, but isn't it wonderful? All of the spiritual masters connect with people. Most of them form a circle of disciples, of students, of followers, because it's meant to be shared. It's meant to go beyond just us. It's meant to be part of what unites all of us. Prayer is simply opening our lives that we may receive what God has always been trying to bestow. We are conditioning our lives with God. And when we do it together, it empowers us. When you do prayers here, the chaplains pray. We have them in the prayer chapel for a week. We send them to Silent Unity where for a month they are literally in the walls of the chapel at the top of Silent Unity, being held in prayer. I love what Khalil Gibran said, and I think this summarizes this whole sense of community prayer. It's also reminding you that you're part of a circle of kindred souls, of Anamkara, who will support and love you through all of life. Khalil Gibran says, "For what is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether?" Isn't that beautiful? What is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether? In God we live and move and have our being. In prayer we live and move and have our being. In one another we live and move and have our being. I want to close with James Dillett Freeman from The Master Key. And it's about praying without ceasing. And that's simply abiding in the presence of the divine as we move through life. We pray without ceasing when we habitually meet whatever comes to us with faith and love, with a mind to draw from the event all that it has to give, and with a willingness to do whatever has to be done to make the most and best of it. Isn't that wonderful? Meet whatever comes with faith and love, draw from it all that it has to give, and have a willingness to do whatever is yours to do. So I invite you this coming week to find ways to pray without ceasing. Just being aware of the divine in all of its forms, and meet whatever comes to you this week. You pick one thing that comes and say, oh, I want to practice praying without ceasing. Let that thing come to you. Welcome it with faith and love, whatever it is. Contemplate the facts from that higher point of view that will help you draw the blessings from whatever it is. And then receive those blessings and be willing to share them with others and the world. For that is what prayer is. And that is how the power of prayer heals, uplifts, and transforms us. The kingdom of heaven is made manifest in, through, and as us through prayer. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine. Oh, we recognize and open to the power of prayer. And that through that, we link our outer embodiment with our inner spiritual truth and awareness. And that we heal, uplift, and transform through this process. And as we do it individually and collectively, through that living, loving light that we are, the kingdom of heaven is made manifest here on earth. Pray, P-R-A-Y. Please remember, awaken yourself. Your new mantra for the week, to pray, please remember, awaken yourself. And as you do so, praying without ceasing will be as natural as breathing and heartbeat. Oh, and for this we are so profoundly grateful. Om, amen, and blessed be.